or tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tom Stone, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, is the speaker on this tape. Tom Stone is our minister this morning. He's part of the Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, has been for quite a long time. I don't know what we'd do without him and the rest of the Lake Hamilton family here, because when you all come for camp meeting, why, we need them to help. Or when we have the men at the ministers' conference, where they're the ones who back up and take care of the of all that has to be done while all of these things go on. And so, without the campground family, we couldn't have a camp meeting. And I just appreciate those who have become and made themselves a part of our family here. And Tom, come this morning and bless us with the word of the Lord.
To be part of this family, and I'm telling you what, it's a blessing to see you being part of the family, because we're all part of the family of God. As closer we get to Him, the better off we all are. You know, I can see a lot of change in your faces since Thursday, and that's lifting. That's lifting. I mean, God's moving in this land still yet. I just want to go before Him right now in prayer. Let's all pray. But thank You, Heavenly Father, for this time, Lord God. Lord, let Your Spirit come forth, Father. Lord, God, I've got to decrease and You must increase, Lord. Also, everyone in the audience right now, Lord God, is gathered together. We need to decrease and You increase. Lord, I thank You for the increase of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank You for the resurrection, Lord, that You're doing and continue to do, Lord God. Continue to resurrect. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, there's a lot of things that we can talk about. A lot of things we can do. But I haven't found anything in this world any better to do is to talk about Jesus Christ. And you know, deliverance is a word that's in the Scripture. And there's a lot of churches cast that word around, but they really haven't got a hold of what deliverance is all about. Because it's something about, like in Matthew 10:10, it says, "You freely you receive, freely give." You got to go through it before you can give it. And a lot of people say, "Well, I've confessed my sins," but all of a sudden, when a deliverance worker that's really truly a minister that gets a hold of you and starts praying with you, you feel it start crawling up your backbone, or your belly gets all out of whack, and snot starts flowing and the tears starts flowing, you know that something's touching you. And who can witness that there's a difference? There is a difference. And I thank God for that. And my subject this morning is one of the attributes of Jesus Christ I want to talk about. And everything that has been talked about from this pulpit this week is one of the attributes of Jesus Christ, starting out with Brother Copeland, bringing us into the sonship. And we all need to come. And all of the ministries that's been here is trying to bring you into the sonship. That manifested Son of God. That you can speak to any problem and it will be removed. I don't care how old you are. You may be 5 years old. You may be still in the crib. I know that babies even realize where evil spirits come from. Because some people can walk in the room and that child right back there, a squalling ball. And others walk up to her, and she'll goo. So there's many, many spirits that float around. And I guarantee you, when I was on the wrong side of life, a child delivered me. And it was a bad thing. It was a bad thing. Because I guarantee you I wasn't in the presence of the Lord. And I got to confess it. I was going with this woman, and I fell madly in love with her, and she wasn't the one for me. And she started messing with this other man. And I got jealous. How many people have got jealous? Been jealous. And the flesh reached out and got a hold of this woman by the throat. And she was blue in the face. But that child cried and stopped the whole process, because it brought me to my senses that I needed God and I needed to come away from what was going on, and I released the person. But at the same time, I released myself. Thank God for that. Because every one of us has got stories to tell. Every one of us. And I thank God that we do have a story, because we're still here. And there's not a gray bars that's keeping us confined. Although some of us may have spent some time there, but we're free now. But some of us never have seen the gray bars, but we've been captivated. And the chains and the shackles and the handcuffs was there, but we're free now and getting more freer. But that's the right terminology. I looked it up in a dictionary, and you can always preach from the dictionary and nobody will argue with you. Have you ever seen that? But the minute you open the Bible, you've got an argument or a consultation or whatever. And so I looked up the word remit. It says, to forgive or pardon sin. To remit. To bind and loosen. To remit. To refrain from executing or inflicting. At that particular point, I wasn't remitting sins. I was afflicting. I was casting punishment. Not on that person, but me. There's a fine line there. We have the choice every time we come in contact with somebody, or every time we come home and we speak to our wives, or every time we meet our brothers, or every time we meet our sisters, or every time we meet our employer, or every time somebody walks through the door of your business or establishment, every time that somebody comes around you. You have that choice to let slacken. To let alone, you know, to slacken. You've heard the word get off my back, ease up, let up a little bit, you know. And Brother Mossy was talking about totalitarian rule in the home. And some of these things have never done. The remittance of the sins, they never let up on you. They just keep driving that thing home. It says to submit or refer, to consider judgment. Because we all pass judgment in a lot of decisions, a lot of things. But the Word says judgment starts at the house of the Lord. And so, if we are the house of the Lord, then He wants to deal with us first. And thank God He's dealt with me in many areas. Anger, for one. How many people have ever got angry? How many people have got angry and sinned not? That's where God wants to bring us to it. Be angry and sin not. Get mad at Satan, but not at the person. Get mad at the action. It also says to put back, as into the first state or position. To put off or to postpone. Or to pay a debt for somebody that they owe. Or pay your own debt. How many of us in here get bills every month? If you didn't pay that debt, what would happen? That sin would be retained, wouldn't it? They'd come and turn off your electricity. They would come and get your car. They would come and get all kinds of things. To give up or surrender. That's the word remit. It spoke to me in a lot of places. Because someone tells you something right now. And a lot of times we get into situations and we refuse to give up our thought. We could be even right. Sometimes we can even quote scripture and have a mindset so strong on one point, and yet we come out angrily holding that scripture up and hurt and offend somebody else. And you could be so right that you kill somebody with being right. But we got to have the love of God, you know, to see where that other person's at. To be patient, to remit his sin. Sometimes that person that you might be talking with has a religious spirit so thick that the cutting torch can't get through it. But yet you've got to be patient, you've got to be loving, to be able to come back to that same point and speak the gospel, speak the truth, and reach out in love and to remit. to remit their sins. There's some more topics. It says to bid to go away or to part. Unfortunately, some people have been caught in divorce, and it says even divorcing a wife or divorcing a husband to remit their sins sometimes. You have to, you know, get out of a situation of a spouse just using you and also entertaining other opposite sex or sometimes even the same sex, and that hurts. It hurts deeply. But yet we've got to come to the point that we can what? Remit their sins. To let go, to let alone, to let be, to disregard. And even sometimes as people speak to you, to leave, not to discuss now, a topic of a teacher, a topic of a writer, a topic of a speaker. And how many people have come, or how many churches have you gone to and you passed judgment on that pastor? How many times have you got angry and left the church? I've come to find out every time you get angry and you don't forgive them and go on, but you got to leave. But you got to leave in the right respect. I mean, you got to leave with a good attitude. Because if you leave angrily, you take a curse upon yourself and you take a curse with you and you take it to the next church that you go to. Remit sin. That is a very, very important thing. God reached out and forgive us of every dastardly thing that we've ever done. But He says that same hand reaching out for that one that's done it to you. To omit, neglect. Neglect or not wishing to pass punishment on that person. Lift them up in your closet. To let go, give up. Give up a debt, to forget, to remit. To forgive. To give up. Keep no longer. Thank God. God don't keep our sins any longer because He forgets them. And us as deliverance worker, as soon as we hear a person's testimony and we lift it up, it better disappear. Because we never, 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 never need to bring it up again. Because it brings a curse upon you for one thing, as a deliverance worker, but it keeps that other person right back there in that same pit. Because it's in the spirit realm, it just comes back and locks them up again. To permit or allow, not to hinder, to give up things to a person. And we are all jealous and we get greedy and we want to operate on our own selves and our own attitudes and we want to keep these things. My way or the highway. Been there, done that. Didn't work. Don't work. I want to tell you one other testimony. It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny, but I got set free. Me and my wife, first early in our marriage, I got caught up in anger and hostility and rage and revenge. And she kept saying, "What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" Nothing, 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 nothing. Who's been in nothing, you know? And just seething inside. And I was in the bedroom. And standing there, and I outweighed her about close to 60, 70 pounds. And we were nose to nose having this conversation. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just jumped up on her. And my back and my knees was touching the bed like this. And she went, boom. I fell back on the floor. And she straddled me. In the name of Jesus, I command this anger, bitterness, hatred, and revenge to come out of him. And all of a sudden, I broke and laughed, and I was set free. And she was too. But yeah, it was Jesus in her. So I'm telling you, you can have fun with this stuff too. It's not all. Amen. Hey, and guess what? You know, us men, we have to be something to submit to. So we have to be gentle as a dove and wise as a serpent. And we better watch what we say because you want your wife straddle you with your finger in your face? But it set me free. Set me free. And I had trouble with anger. And Diane, she said, man. She got to a point, and he says, he's preaching the gospel, and then he comes home, and he's mean as a rattlesnake. And he said, this guy got to change. And boy, I went to a tent, and this evangelist was there. He worked in Word of Knowledge and Deliverance, and had a sawdust floor, and he was preaching the gospel, and
He said, come here.
And all of a sudden, in the name of Jesus, wham, I fell and hit the floor, and I was wallowing in the sawdust, and stuff started coming out of my mouth. And bless my wife's heart. The minister said, oh, I got some of it. And she said, well, why didn't you get all of it? Why didn't you get all of it? Get him again. Get him again. Thank God. God heard her cry because he kept working on me. But see, I had to surrender. I had to lay myself down. I had to lay my position down. Pride, jealousy, anger, frustrations. I had to lay all that down. And even today, you know, we all, I guarantee you, any worker, they have some of these same things fight today. They may not manifest as hard or outwardly as much, but still we are in the flesh. We're still in the flesh. And we're going to have this battle until Jesus comes again. But we need to come into a position that Son be created in us. The church is holding back Jesus Christ because we're not allowing Him to be formed in us. And you're always supposed to bring Scripture into it. I don't know if you've got time enough, but we're going to start with some Scripture. We're going to go to Matthew, and I'm going to probably preach from first Matthew down to Matthew 28, probably. Okay. We're going to go to Matthew 3:15. Let's start out there. And here is a situation with John the Baptist. You know, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was brought up the other day how he was kept in the Spirit from the wound on. And he was very boastful. He was very brash. He was very rough. He was, you know, he had girded his loins with camel skin and wore. He probably was a grubby fella. I guarantee you, most churches wouldn't let him come up here and speak behind the pulpit because he would probably have a little smell to him because just purity body odor. He was a rough and tough guy. But thank God, he was obedient to the Lord. And see, if you look back at the lineage of John the Baptist, he was supposed to be the next bloodline high priest. He was. And let's go to this right here. I'm going to back up to 13, and it says, then comes Jesus from Galilee of Jordan to John to be baptized. And to pass the mantle, Jesus, I thank you, man. To pass the mantle down is always through baptism. It's going to the river, going over Jordan. They wasn't called Jews. Israelites wasn't called Jewish people until they come across the river. But John was the high priest, and he says, but John forbidding, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me. See? Even John, and all the things he was doing, and Jesus said, answered and unto him, suffer it to be so now, for it becometh to fulfill all righteousness. So we have to go back to that word, remit, and suffer some things. In other words, allow it to happen. You hear a ringing? I break the power and authority of that witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I command it to leave. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. But I'm telling you what. See, if John hadn't submitted to that spirit of Jesus Christ, would righteousness be fulfilled? 4:11. And then Jesus, I'm going to go to 10 first. And Jesus said unto them, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left. So he had to remit and come away. He had to get out of Satan and get out of the way of Jesus Christ. So we have to get out of the way. And even John the Baptist, Peter one time, Peter was trying to rebuke Jesus Christ, and Christ turned and said, what did he say? Get thee behind me, Satan. Because he was trying to stay in the flesh. He was trying to stay in the flesh. Matthew 4:20. And here we have, you know, in Christ, immediately after he was baptized, the Spirit took him into the wilderness to be tempted. And so here we are in verse 20, and it says, and they went straightway and left their nets. And then after he came out of the wilderness, he started picking out his people. And here we have it seen that he was starting to pick out fishermen. How many people like to fish in here?
I do. I like it. Me and Monty was talking about it. He was said he was going up to his hometown. And I said, my bags are packed. Can I go? You know. But yet we need to become fishers of men. We need to know how to be obedient. But these fishermen left their nets and they followed Jesus Christ. So they remitted their own lives, their own livelihoods, and they started following Jesus. Let's go to Matthew 5:24. I'm going to back up to verse 20, 21. Ye have heard of what said unto them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall killeth shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembrance that thy brother hath aught what against thee, leave. In other words, you better find somehow to come to a place of remittance. Forgive that person's sin. That sinned against you. Because that's what it says. Leave therefore the gift at the altar and go thy way and first what? Reconcile to thy brother and to them and then come and offer thy gift. A lot of times you cannot reconcile, but you can forgive yourself and tell those people, forgive me of my part of that sin. Because it takes two people to in a relationship to sin. And a lot of times we get on our high and mighty and say, because I was there. I mean, I didn't handle sin. I was judging. And I had the right to judge my wife. She hurt my feelings, you know. She rejected me. And it was nothing big. I mean, just because her son came in and talked to her and she turned away from me and started talking to him. Because I went off into self-pity and she loves him more than me. But she should. She birthed him, you know. I'm just the one that comes around, you know. And anyway, I got caught up in that situation. So I had to, things wasn't working right. I was going around witnessing to everybody. I was knocking down doors. I was telling about Jesus Christ. I was getting nowhere. Because my closet wasn't taken care of. My closet wasn't taken care of. So when she so graciously released me and brought me to face to face with myself, because what happened was a big old mirror just automatically just pointed right at me. You know, I couldn't see anything but me and how my faults were. So I had to say, yes, I'm guilty. And the sooner we say we're guilty, the quicker we're going to come free. And it's a tragic thing. I mean, you can't run. How far can you run, Doc, to get away from God? You can't. You can try. And I guarantee you spend a lot of money in gasoline. You spend a lot of money on Hot Wheels. You spend a lot of money in airplanes. And you'll spend a lot of money probably in the gambling. You spend a lot of money on snow skis. You spend a lot of money on four-wheelers. You spend a lot of money on horses. You spend a lot of money on cruises. You know, just everything in the book, you know, to run away from. Go away. Hey, you're meddling now. You're meddling. Yeah, you can spend a lot of money on meddling, fishing. Okay, you brought me to another confession, but I want to tell a testimony. I told a couple of people this morning. I like to fish. So does Monty. So we're both in the same, not in the same boat, but we've still got the same life. Well, I went and bought this boat. I was a bass boat. Oh, I was going to go fishing. I was going to do this, and I was going to do that. And I had some people talk me into going to a fishing tournament. How many ever seen the Bass Pro Tournament on TV? And they got these $1 million prizes and stuff. Well, God has really worked on me about my fishing. But also, He blessed me one time about fishing, because I just left it alone. It sat there, and I polished it, and it's still sitting there. And I put all my fishing equipment in there, and you'd be surprised how much money you could get into fishing. And it brought to my reality one night. We had, We'd been trusting, and we left our cars open, you know, and not locked, and there was some people come around and start pilfering through the neighborhood. And I came outside, and my door was just open just a little bit, and my console was open, and all my... I got a junk spirit I need to get rid of, you know. And I got the stuff all in my work truck, and I had stuff on my, you know, my dashboard and stuff. And all the stuff was turned upside down. It was pilfered through. And I looked over at my wife's car, and it had gone through her deal. And I said, something's wrong. Something's wrong here. And I went back in the house, and Diane said, what? What's going on? I said, well, she said, you better go look around the boat. So I went out there, and sure enough, I opened the rod box, and I had about 10 fishing poles in there. I had a big bass tackle box that was sitting inside, and all that stuff was gone. Boy, talking about letting your feathers down, Mike. You know, I was dropped and drooped, you know. He was working on me about this fishing. And I went and called the law, and he says, well, I need a description of everything that you lost. And so we went out, and I get these Bella books, you know, these wish books and Bass Pro books, and these things are terrible. Just you sit in there and wish and dream and this and that. And I confess it as sin, Monty. And I know. And anyway, I started looking down through there and I started listing the prices of these things, and we got up to $2,200. Lord. And then all of a sudden I start hearing these people come around. They hit me too, and they stole some things from me. Then I start saying, well, I got a shotgun. I'm waiting on them. I got a .44 Magnum that come around bothering me. And I got to hearing this words of death being spoken out. And I said, boy, I better not be caught saying that, because the Lord's looking at me, and he says, and when you get a little older, you're a little closer to him, and all of us are getting closer to him, and we better watch what we say. And I said, Lord, I hope they're caught, but Lord, save their soul. And I chose not to speak death to that person. And I was frustrated. And all of a sudden, my son came over and the next day, and I was down here. We were down here. And he calls me and he says, Dad, did you lose some fishing poles? Because I haven't talked to him even. I said, yeah. And he said, guess what I found down by the shed? And I call it an angel of the Lord, scared that fella. And he dropped my fishing poles and my tackle box, and it never left my property. So there is some places, you know, that God is going to look over your property. And, you know, we have to release everything we have to him, because, you know, even with that bass boat, I had to change my mind. When I went to that one tournament, and it convicted me of gambling, and that's exactly what it is. You're putting up money to get money, you know, without working for it. And I have not been back since, and I'm not going to go back. That boat probably going to rot right where it sits. But me and my wife like to go fishing, and we have fun at it. And Benny and Jane, friends of ours, we go fishing with them, and we talk about the Lord, and you can have some godly entertainment, but always involve Jesus Christ. Always involve Jesus Christ. Well, we better get back to our lesson. These testimonies, I like them, but it takes us away from the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verse 40. I don't know how many people have had the privilege of this happening, but this is a hard one. If any man will sue you at law and take away thy cloak, let him have thy cloak also. Has anybody ever took you in court? Many times. Yeah, I heard a snicker over here, so I've got one person in my court. Amen. But I want to tell you something right now. It's amazing what God can do in a courtroom. It's amazing what God can do in a courtroom. If you're living a spirit-filled life and you're doing everything you possibly can, and you submit to the Lord and let your spirit be tried by him, he says, I'll try your hearts and your reins. And if I'm going to tell you something right now, there is no lawyer in this world like Jesus Christ. And he'll go in and he'll hear your case, and He will fight for you. I had the misfortune of my dad giving us, my sister and myself, a house. And he married another woman, and this woman was a gold digger. And we recognized it right quick. And it didn't take long. I was dragged to the court of law by my dad and my stepmother. And they tried to say that I stole the property from them. But it wasn't my idea. And my dad went and done it on his own before he ever married this lady. But we chose to hang on to the property. And as the thing progressed, God showed me by a pit bulldog. And that's what I was dealing with, because she was just napping at me all the time. Yeah, 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 yeah. And I talked to a police officer the other day, he said that they had a case file down there on me where she is making reports that I've done this and I've done that and I've done this and I've done that and done this and done that. And thank God the people knew me, the police officers. But I had one police officer come out to my house and he didn't know me. And I mean, he was white-eyed. And I said, God, please, Lord. And my own, as he was talking, I was praying. And the Lord says, pray continually. And I was praying, Lord God, I said, let this fellow know that none of these things has transpired. So God had favor on me. And the day we was going to court, the lawyer came out to their house, and he had the same demeanor as this bulldog. And this bulldog that I'm talking about, I built houses, and I had one employee bought a bulldog and one of these pit bulls, and this dog had a white muzzle, and he had a brindle head. I mean, just square. And I looked at that dog, and he tried biting me, and I said, you better go over there and lay down before you make yourself sick. And I went on over. I went on over there, and done what I was supposed to do, and I came back by, and the dog lunged at me again to the end of the chain. And I said, I told you, you better go over there and lay down before you make yourself sick. Well, I had to leave and go talk to my counsel. And I went by the house, and I looked across the road. Our house, their house is about from here to that back wall from the front porch. And I said, I got a good looking. The lawyer had this white beard and brindle hair and had a square face. And so we went to court. No, I back up a little bit. I went back to the job to check on it. And I got back, and I see this employee over there down on the ground trying to give this pit bull dog mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I asked him, what happened? He said, the dog got out in the pond and drowned it. How powerful are your words? How powerful are your words? How many sins can you remit? So let's go back to the story, and went to court and went in the judge's chambers and started laying out, and finally the judge dismissed my stepmother, and then he asked my father and said, whose idea was these papers? Mine. He said, who's prepared these papers? Who got the papers thought up? This is I did. And the judge said, she got kind of angry a little bit, and he said, this should have never came to court. Dismissed. And that lawyer, he just threw his whole case up, and the papers went everywhere in the courtroom. Jesus Christ was there. Because we didn't mean no harm for this lady. And she was a blessing, I'll tell you what, because she worked on my anger too. I mean, she worked on my anger. One day she come over there and she started reading this, the Riot Act, and I got mad. I told her, you need to go home. And I told my dad, I said, you need to keep this lady you're married to home. So they live just as far as I hear that door. Boy, when I started back across my property line, boom, my back started hurting right across here. And I was so mad, I was trembling. Has anybody ever got mad until they was trembling? My back was killing me. My wife wasn't there to pray for me. So I went in, and I have this CD turntable that has praise and worship on it. And I cranked that thing up. I mean, the windows would... And I lay down in the Lord, and I in the floor, and I was singing praise and worship music. And so the Lord says, I send my praise and worship people into the battle first. And so I went into battle, and I laid there, and all of a sudden, God supernaturally healed me. I mean, I felt just like a bolt of lightning, wham, come down. And I had my arms stretched up, praising on the flat of my back, and it went from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I got up there, and I I could jump over the moon. I didn't have a paying one. Letting him have his way. And any place in your life. So here we need to get back to the word. It says, let him have your cloak too. I mean, in other words, submit yourself totally to the Lord. 6:12. I told you he was going right through Matthew. Here we have a verse right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, and it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How many people owe us something? Really? How many people really owe us something? A lot of younger people in the world says, you owe me a living. You owe me. No. Because they were born just like we did. They need to get out and find a job. God, the Lord gave them a talent. They need to figure out their talent and go use it to where they can get finances for themselves. Some people may not say that you owe me a living, but you've stolen my childhood from me. You've stolen this. You've stolen that. You've stolen my birthrights. No. Because we forget one thing. We get caught up in me. Forgive us of our debts. And it's the amazing thing is when we forgive our debtors, Jesus Christ forgives us. I leave principles to us. Should we go around in the middle of God? Should I go around with a backache? No, because see, once I forgive and I came to a point, then Jesus healed my back. I went out and poured concrete the next day, poured 20-some yards by myself, and drug it all down and finished it on my hands and knees, and my back didn't hurt me. So, I'm telling you what, if you really apply the principles of Jesus Christ, and you do everything you can on your end. I mean, even if somebody gets this close to your nose and they're just breathing in your face and they're putting that spittle of anointing on you, you know, spitting in your face, you're chewing you up one side down the other, you still got to forgive them. You still got to have the presence and the love of Jesus Christ. Because you may be the only God that they see. And you may have to go back and pray for them. And I'll tell you what, if you don't pray for them, you'll go around Mount Sinai. How many people have got on that treadmill around problems? Somewhere there is a spiritual principle that will apply to that situation. And God says, seek me early in the morning. Seek my face. Taste and see. They may be hard. God, Jesus said some hard things. Go and sell all you have and follow me. What did the guy say? That's hard to do. And turned around and walked off. So I try to give everything I have. You've got to have a place to live. You've got to have transportation. You've got to have food on the table. You've got to have some things that, in this life. But stay within your means. Stay within your, you know, what finances you make. Because if you live above your means, you're going to find yourself pulling out your hair trying to reach and scramble and get another dollar to pay for what you got. Just like Doc in his teachings, you know, he tells some people, told some young men, well, you need to pray, you need to every morning read your Bible every morning. And the guy says, well, I ain't got time for that. Well, you don't make time, it's not going to do good for you. And I know I get wrapped up in business because I am a contractor. And God gives me jobs. A lot of times I make money, and sometimes it just squeaks by the penny, you know. But yet, He meets my needs. And I have to stay in tune with Him. I can't get up and whine and cry, and I'm going broke, and going broke, and going broke. And I can't eat, and blah, 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 this and that and the other. It don't work. God, what do you want out of me now? What do I got to do? And He'll tell you. He'll tell you by searching the Word. And this is all deals with remitting of sin. One of the attributes of Jesus Christ. Matthew 7:4. And it says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the what? The mote out of thine eye? And behold, a beam is in our own eye. I tell you what, I had some big ones, boy. I mean, I don't know if you know what an LVL is or LSL, but they make them 40, 60 feet long, you know. I had some of those stuck in both eyes. I had to come to a place that I had to look at myself. I had to look at myself. And I still have to look at myself because, you know, you can say, well, I prayed for this person over here, and I prayed for that person. Guess what happened right then? Pride jumps up. And God will pull the rug out from underneath you. Because he'll bring you right back down off your high horse. Man, it's quiet in here. All I hear is an air conditioner going. 8:15. Matthew 8:15. We're staying there. We're staying in Matthew for a while. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto him. What happened? The fever left. The remittance came. The forgiveness came. The fear left that person, or whatever it could have been. The touch of Jesus Christ. We have to push in. I mean, push in, push in, push in, push in. And touch the hem of his garment. I mean, and don't let anybody stand between you and that hem of that garment. I mean, no house, no car, no business, no nothing. Let nothing stand. You better not even let your spouse or your mother, your brother, your sister, anybody stand between you and him and that garment. Because we need to press in. We need to press in because we need him more and more. If you don't realize that, and I know everyone realizes that, because we wouldn't be here today seeking deliverance. Because the world is growing gross and more gross and more gross. It's not going to get any better. And the only way it's going to get better is to come into Psalms 91. Hide thyself in the secret place. And I'm telling you, by going to that court of law, I was hit in the secret place. By involved in a head-on collision, I still was hit in that secret place. Because there were some things that happened there. This guy was going 60 miles an hour, I was going 40, and I got completely over in the ditch and hit me head-on. And I got out of the vehicle, and my nose was bleeding. That's the only thing that happened to me. I got a knot on the back of my head and neck muscles strained. And I got out of the truck and got some people out of my vehicle, and some things happened. And the Lord said, go pray for him. You know what I said to him? I argued with him. I said, he tried killing me. He said, go pray for him. And I went over there with a simple prayer. I said, Lord, bless him. Move in his life. Lord, and I forgive him right now in the name of Jesus. I remitted his sin. The guy went over to Israel and was preaching and baptized over 600 people into Jesus Christ in Israel. And the guy come back and still asked for forgiveness. You know, I told him he was forgiven that day. But out of that, I had to forgive. I forgive him immediately. I had to forgive the two guys that was in the truck because they had a lawyer already trying to sue me. I had to forgive the EMT because he poked me in the nose. My nose was getting big. I said, you poked me in the nose again, I'm going to poke you in the nose. I was a hostile patient one time. I had to come to forgiveness for that. And then I had to forgive the lawyer, the cop, you know, because he didn't write the guy a ticket. He didn't haul him off to jail. He didn't have any license, and he was running from the law from Hot Springs, and he had a borrowed vehicle. He had no insurance. I had to forgive the lawyer. I had to forgive all the medical people because they were sending me bills, and I didn't have no money to pay. And guess what? I didn't get my forgiveness or my healing until I forgive them, because I wound up by 6-8 months, I had to go around picking my head up like this, putting it back on my shoulder. Forgiveness is powerful, powerful. You want to enter into the presence of the Lord and enter into that power? And everybody wants to seek power, but the thing about it is you really don't have that power, but you can operate in that power, because the power don't belong to you. Once you've forgiven, everybody wants their name on a big marquee. Not me. Not me. There's a bunch of responsibilities there. A bunch of responsibilities. People have asked me in the community there, we've been starting praying for people, and they said, well, why don't you start a church? And I said, well, the Lord hadn't told me to become a pastor. I said, besides that, there's a lot of work there. You got a bunch of people in here wanting to come in there and start bickering and fighting amongst each other, and you got to go over there and stroke them, you know, and ease them up. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. God, you're going to have to do it. It's a full-time job, too. 24-7, you never know who's going to come to your door, and you're still going to have to forgive them. Still going to have to forgive them. It may be an odd time, too. I mean, you're still going to have to forgive them. You may be chowing down on your favorite meal, you know. Ring, 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 ring. Oh, that phone. Beeper go off. Forgive me. Hallelujah. Get back to our lesson. I love the Lord. I love Him. 8:22. But Jesus said unto them, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. How many said I can't go into ministry until I have a spouse? How many people said I need somebody to serve with him? How many people said, well, my mother and my father are still alive, I need to take care of them? I'm guilty of all these things. I said, Lord, I confess it as sin. But he's wanting to follow him right now. But guess what? You don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to Timbuktu. He was wanting you to follow him and come into his ministry right in your own home. And I'm not knocking a wife, because I am blessed. I am blessed with money. And I'm telling you what, I had to fight. I have to fight. I got a cheering section over here. She knows what I'm talking about. And you're going to have to fight too. Because when you was lost and in the world, you didn't have a whole lot of fighting going on. But once you said, Lord, forgive me my sins, the battle started. The battle started because you could do things back then and there was no consequences. But once you said, yes, Lord, they become consequences. Every one of us, especially the people that have demeanor like me, got gray hair on their head, they're getting closer to the Lord whether they want to or not. I mean, is this a physical thing? I mean, we're going to meet Him face to face. And I'd rather meet Him now. I would rather meet Him right now and ask Him to forgive me and confess my sins than meet Him after that virtue, that spirit of life moves out of me. Because I'm telling you what, this deathbed salvation scares me. And I don't want to be there. Because I still got life in me. And it makes no difference you've got gray hair. You're still responsible. You can still bring somebody to the Lord. You can still pray for somebody. You still can be that intercessor. And yes, there are people out there winning people to the Lord, but some people have to stand back and pray for that person out there winning people to the Lord. And it's all about remitting sin. Matthew 9, verse 2. And behold, they brought him a man sick of palsy and laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, and said unto the sick palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sin be forgiven. I want him to say that about me. And what really got a hold of me is how many has read the story about Stephen? You read it. I don't want no judge sitting down at a bench with a gavel sitting on the other side. But I would rather see that Jesus Christ standing there with his hands wide open. Come on in. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. And it's not really about me. I need to be about his business just because I love him. Not that reward. Just because I love him. Do you want to be loved? Try loving somebody else. You want to be a friend? Or have a friend? Be a friend. A lot of times we have to be that friend before we get a friend. We have to be that loving thing that they see before we can be loved. If you're a porcupine, who's going to come up and put their arms around you? Nobody. If you're going to be a barrel of cactus, I guarantee you get stuck. You may have a lot of water inside you, but you're not going to water nobody. 9:5. And of course we had this discussion right here. You know, they started talking about Jesus. Well, this man says, I forgive them. And I guarantee you, you could speak that and something happened with the anointing on you today and the same thing could happen somewhere else. And I guarantee you, there'll people rise up. Well, that man said, I forgive that man's sin. And they'll do the same thing to you that they did to Jesus Christ. And it says right here, and it says, and for whether it is easier, they done ask, you know, done got their opinion because he knew, he discerned their hearts. And he says, whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and walk. words. But what power, what authority has it got? See, we're missing some power and some authority when we choose to be self-centered. Poor me. I. How dare they do that to me? Or how dare they say that about me? 9:6. It says, "But they may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin." And if we become the manifested Son of God, where can we walk into? Who are we? Dale was talking about if Jesus lives here, if we're the temple, and we live, and He lives here, and where did Jesus go? To the right hand of God? Then where, if Jesus is here, where's God? And we become the manifested sons of God. And a lot of people don't want to hear that, don't want to walk into it. But I'm telling you what, it's there for us to obtain. He says, "I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." And do you think Jesus Christ would leave this earth without giving us something to hold us, to keep us, to maintain us? I don't think so. I don't think He would leave here without giving us that ability. Especially when you wait for that anointing, for that precious word. And I'm telling you what, when you get the word, you could take it to the bank. It's just as good as a $5,000 C-note, whatever it is. But we can't get tired of hearing about it either. Because we all need to be brought back to that place. Because we can't get so high and mighty that says, we don't need this. I know for myself. I got to come back. I got to come back to where He is. Matthew 12:31. And here the Pharisees are trying to work Him over. And let's go back up to 28. It says, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, and the kingdom of God has come upon you, or else can I one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he first he bind the strong man, and then he will spoil the house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manners of sin, of blasphemy, shall be forgiven you unto you, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven you." So we need to be very careful about forgiveness. Because if God tells us to forgive, that person, and He does it, I mean, really impressionable, with audible voice, sometimes He'll speak to you. And a lot of people say, "Well, I never heard God." Well, has a scripture ever came to your mind? And He's speaking to you. Has a thought say, "Don't do it," come to your mind? He's speaking to you. And sometimes we say, "Well, I'm going to do it anyway." And then, boy, we wind up in a big mess. How many wound up in those messes? Time's getting short, but I want to bring some things to you that the Holy Spirit ministered to me this morning. You know, yes, we need to forgive people. But can you forgive yourself? Can you forgive yourself? Because I'm going to tell you something. When you don't forgive yourself, it opens up to many, many things. I've seen some... One amusing thing he brought to me this morning was, he said, "Well, you've seen some good-looking, some fairly nice-looking women. And you've seen them put on war paint. But yet they've got a spirit of ugliness on themselves." Just for the simple fact they haven't forgiven somebody or themselves. They've been treated wrongly. They've been hurt. And us men, these two young guys are still in their prime of life, and they can stand up, and they got abs, you know, and they got muscles, and right now they got the world by the tail. I'm going to tell you something. As pressures of life come along, all of a sudden, that chest falls down to here. You know? A lot of times, that thing comes upon us because we have not forgiven people. Pressures of life. We haven't remitted sin. And the refrigerator has become our best friend. And all of a sudden, what happens? From that beauty comes a spirit of ugliness. How many people want to be beautiful? Practice forgiving yourself. I mean, every day. "Lord, help me forgive myself. Lord, I need help." You don't have control of everything. I mean, there's things that come against you every hour, every day, every Every time a phone rings, there's something different comes against you. If you're a school teacher, I guarantee you there's 28 things comes against you every time a class changes. You go out to a lumber pile as your carpenter and go to pick up a bunch of boards. And they could be splinters there. They could be scorpions underneath the wood pile. Or they could be even a copperhead, you know. And sometimes we call a nail driven up to a board that's sticking there and sticking out of the board the other side, a rattlesnake. And you step on it and it goes in your foot, you know. So how many things? And you want to come out of a spirit of accident prone? Get in touch with yourself. Because how many times is your mind all worked up, all caught up in everything else, and you're not even thinking about what you're doing? Driving down the road, cell phone rings. You're not where you're at. There comes somebody. In other words, we need to be about our Father's business, taking care of this. This is where God abides. This is where He's wanting to make His home. And Brother Glenn, he always preaches around here, you eat, you are what you eat, in a way. You know, we need to go back and find out the biblical principles of what we need to be eating and come away from that and some of those things. We're finding out that a lot of the fish and game rules is today that you're not supposed to eat fish, certain fish, out of certain places. And a lot of it's all scavenger fish. And they're loaded up with mercury. I'm gonna put it this way. Could Alzheimer's be connected to mercury? Shellfish? Those kind of things? Mercury has a tendency to work on your brain, your mental thoughts, along with stress and strain and everything else. So, we need to really ask some questions about what are we doing? We need to forgive ourselves and change and forgive other people. Because I'll tell you what, it's the key to coming out of depression. It's the key to coming up out of a lot of things. It's the key to coming up out of lawsuits. It's the key to coming up out of slander. It's the key to... And he says, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you're being given tools this whole entire week on how to handle life situations. And I encourage you to use them. You want to keep your deliverance? Practice forgiving. You want to keep your deliverance? Stay in the Word. You want to keep your deliverance? Be a friend. You want to keep your deliverance? Love somebody. It's the key to the kingdom of heaven. And it gets fun. I'll tell you what. It gets fun. Just like when my wife pushed me down. I was caught in a trap. But I immediately laughed and I come out of a prison. The doors are open. Come on out. You've had a Peter experience. He was in prison. The angel of the Lord has come and said, hey, kicked him and said, get up and follow me. Just get out of here. And I'll tell you something else. When the Holy Spirit gets on you, you can walk into that jail and speak to nobody. I had this happen. The Lord told me to go visit somebody in jail. I went down to that jail. They didn't know me. I didn't talk to anybody. I walked right behind the counter, right into the hall, right into the cell room. The jailer was standing there. He opened the door. I walked in. I delivered my message. They never spoke to me, said, hi, who are you, or nothing. Went in there and prayed with the person, talked to the person, knocked on the door. The jailer was there, let me out. I walked back out. Nothing was said and nothing done. There is a place. I'm telling you what. Come out of your prison. Come out of your jail. Your jail cell. The doors are open. The doors are open. That's what I got for you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So, that's all I have. I want to be a good steward of time and release you. I'm not going to keep you any longer. I've got three more pages of notes. But I know how people like long-winded preachers. Doc says your rear end only can stand, or your brain can only stand what your rear end can stand. So everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Everybody raise their arms up and touch the sky and say, God, I surrender.
God, I surrender.
I choose to forgive.
Set me free.
Lord, I forgive myself.
In Jesus' name.
Now, the next thing, it sounds funny, but reach down and just hug you and say, I love myself. You need to practice that, because a lot of times And it would be a good time just to turn and hug one another, because I'm telling you what, it's good mental health to touch somebody at least 8 times a day. Lord, as we're coming to you, Lord God, we just lift up the food right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless it for the nourishment of our bodies, Lord, that we can further the gospel. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for the spiritual food that's been fed to us this morning. I just bless everyone in this room right now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.